It is so good to be with you. Jill and I were talking last night, and as we drove down this morning, just very excited to celebrate this day with you and what it all represents. If you'd open your Bibles to Philippians chapter 1. By the way, I told Rick as he was sitting down that he is an impatient man, by the way. We have an ongoing joke about that. Rick has become my friend through all of this, and got out of the car and saw him in the lot, said, "I just miss you," which I really do. So to be able to serve you during a short period of time has been a real privilege for me and a real joy, and it's good to see many of your faces again. I have carried you on my heart and prayed for you often. I was in tears during worship as you just think about what this day represents and some of the times I was here with you and wondering, boy, is the Lord going to work and is he going to move? But he has, hasn't he? And he's been good. And we've experienced some of that goodness today. And he deserves all the glory. I had you open to Philippians 1 because it's from this chapter, or a portion of this chapter, that we're going to celebrate what this day represents, the replanting of New Covenant Church, which is a wonderful day. We are celebrating what God has done among you and your desire, New Covenant Church, to replant this church. It makes a loud statement of what you believe about the gospel of Jesus Christ. And as we heard prophesied earlier, the net being cast so that more would come to know Christ in this area. It says a lot about you as a local church. And we find in Scripture over and over again that to be effective in replanting or really be effective in advancing the gospel, we need to do that together. You need to do that together as a local church family, but we need to do that together with other churches because we can accomplish a lot more by doing it together than any single church alone. And so I want to take a look at this gospel partnership that Paul references here as he writes to the church in Philippi. That's the title of my message, Gospel Partnership. And we're going to read chapter 1, verses 1 through 14. Paul and Timothy, servants of Christ Jesus, to all the saints in Christ Jesus who are at Philippi, with the overseers and deacons, and grace to you, and peace from God, our Father, and the Lord Jesus Christ. I thank my God in all my remembrance of you, always in every prayer of mine for you, all making my prayer with joy because of your partnership in the gospel from the first day until now. And I am sure of this, that he who began a good work in you will bring it to completion at the day of Jesus Christ. It is right for me to feel this way about you all, because I hold you in my heart. For you are all partakers with me of grace, both in my imprisonment and in the defense and confirmation of the gospel. For God is my witness how I yearn for you all with the affection of Christ Jesus. And it is my prayer that your love may abound more and more with knowledge and all discernment, so that you may approve what is excellent and so be pure and blameless for the day of Christ, filled with the fruit of righteousness that comes through Jesus Christ to the glory and praise of God. I want you to know, brothers, that what has happened to me has really served to advance the gospel, so it has become known throughout the whole imperial guard and to all the rest that my imprisonment is for Christ. And most of the brothers, having become confident in the Lord by my imprisonment, are much more bold to speak the word without fear. Let's pray. Actually, as we go to pray, I believe I just want to share an impression with you. I got just during worship about as you move ahead. In Exodus 33, Moses is getting ready to lead Israel away from Mount Sinai, and the Lord says to him, my presence will go with you. And Moses says to him, essentially, we're not going to go unless your presence goes with you, because it's your presence that makes us distinctly different. And I believe, New Covenant Church, as you go forward from this day, God's presence is going to be with you and go with you. And one of the things that will make you distinct is that God's presence is here. That's a wonderful promise, isn't it? So let's pray for that now. Lord, we just want to begin this prayer by thanking you. We know that all that is occurring here today is by your grace and because of your sovereign goodness. And we can say that you have been exceedingly kind to us, and that you've been exceedingly good to New Covenant Church and to those who are joining this church family. And so throughout this entire time, throughout this entire day, may there be glory given to you. May there be thanks given to you. And may we remember throughout the day that it is by your strength and by your power and through your goodness that we are celebrating what we're celebrating today. And as this church moves forward from this day, I pray that your presence would go with them. I pray that God's presence would be here, your presence, Lord, in a way that makes them distinctly different. And through that presence, would you draw many more who don't know Jesus Christ here? And may the gospel be preached, and may people be born again and discipled as a believer and follower of Christ. Do all of these things for your glory, we pray. In Jesus' name, amen. Josh gave us a good distinction between planting and church planting. I mentioned that because most of you, some of you know that in 1996, Jill and I, along with our three daughters and about 10 adults, were sent from Covenant Fellowship Church in Glen Mills, Pennsylvania, to plant Providence Church in Pittsburgh, Pennsylvania. We arrived there and began services, I think it was in October of 1996, and within the first couple of months, a man by the name of Jim Heron walked through our doors. See, Jim had just been born again. An 82-year-old woman by the name of Bea befriended him and shared the gospel with him. And this big heathen, essentially, was broken by the grace of God, was convicted of his sin, and he placed his faith in Jesus. And Bea directed him to Providence Church. Jim walked through our doors, a new believer, not really understanding much of what Christianity was all about. He was a single father with four children, two from a failed marriage, and then two from a woman that he had lived with for years, and he arrived, and he just wanted to know more about Jesus. And so we spent time discipling him. The members of this church brought him into their home and had meals with them, and he began to see not only how the Word of God affects you, it begins to see how the Word of God works in your life. He began to see how grace affects and changes a person over time. And as he was captivated by that and changed by the transforming grace of God, he had this desire to be married again. He just wanted to do the relationships. He wanted to have a relationship that was different from the past relationship. Now, I tell you that story because 3 weeks ago, Jill and I were back in Pittsburgh, and I had the privilege of officiating his wedding 16 years later. And he's marrying a wonderful Christian woman. And that wedding was a worship event that gave great glory to Christ. And they are now members both of Providence Church, where they hope to spend the rest of their lives. Now, I tell you that story because it's one story that tells you why New Covenant Church, why you're replanting this church. You're replanting this church so that the gospel can be proclaimed, so that the gospel can be shared. People are born again. And not only is there this initial transformation where they're justified in Christ, but there is this ongoing transformation by grace where their lives are completely changed for the rest of their lives, where you will disciple people in the gospel of Jesus Christ. That's what God has called you to. And that's what God is going to do. Now, this church in Philippi was a church plant. Did you realize that? We know that from Acts chapter 16. Paul is on a missionary journey. He plans to go to Bithynia. And Scripture tells us in Acts 16 that the Spirit of God, he says the Spirit of Jesus stopped him. And he didn't go there. I think it was later that evening, he has a dream. And this man from Macedonia calls him and says, come to Macedonia. And so that's what he does. He goes to Macedonia. He arrives there. He shares the gospel with Lydia. Do you remember Lydia's conversion? She's born again and her life is transformed forevermore. And then after he and Silas are arrested there in Philippi, he's thrown into jail. And what happens? He shares the gospel with the Philippian jailer. And after release, they're gathered in a home and the Philippian jailer and his entire household, it says, come to Christ. They are born again. And in that moment, a church is planted in Philippi. So why did the Spirit of God lead Paul to Macedonia? The Spirit of God led him there so that the gospel would advance and so that a church would be planted. And it would be a place where ongoing gospel ministry will occur. We know that that happened here from this letter. So why is the same Spirit of God today calling you to replant this church? Well, I believe it's for the same reason, because the local church is the place where the gospel is proclaimed and the place where gospel mission is based. That's why God is replanting this church. And it's clear from this text that we just read that gospel mission is done in partnership as we reach out, as you reach out to the community that's around you. Look at verses 3 through 5 again. Thank my God in all my remembrance of you, always in every prayer of mine for you all, making my prayer with joy because of your partnership in the gospel from the first day until now. We see there in those verses that Paul and the members of the Philippian church, they were bound together. There was a common commitment that they had, a devotion to seeing the gospel advance. And even though this letter was written a little over 1900 years ago in 62 AD, it's that same commitment and that same devotion that now binds you together, New Covenant Church, that devotion to the gospel of Jesus Christ. See, whether you've been here for 25 or 30 years, and some of you have, or whether some of you are just moving in, some of you from Souderton are just moving in to become a part of this replant, what binds you together is the gospel of Jesus Christ. What is the most important thing about you is that you share Jesus Christ. And so be a church that is committed to that partnership. Be a church that's devoted to the advancement of the life-transforming gospel of Jesus Christ. Now, this word partnership used here in verse 5, in the Greek it's koinonia, is best understood in the more active sense, the more active, dynamic, and endeavor on the part of the Philippians. So what I want to do is take a quick look at three characteristics that mark a genuine gospel partnership. And as we look at these characteristics, these are characteristics that should mark you as a local church as you relate to one another. They should mark you as you relate to other local churches as you partner in the gospel. And it should mark the relationship that you have with Sovereign Grace as well. So, three markers of gospel partnership. Number one, gospel partnership is marked by, number one, constant prayer. Gospel partnership is marked by, number one, constant prayer. Look at verses 3 and 4 again. I thank my God in all my remembrance of you. Listen to the language, always, in every prayer of mine for you all, making my prayer with joy. That language, always, and in every prayer, tells you that Paul was constantly praying for the Philippians, that he carried them on his heart, and he was constantly lifting up them up in prayer. And we know that Paul prays for them not only by thanking them. We see that in verse 3. He prays a number of ways for them. In fact, one of the ways that he prays for them, as we see in verses 9 through 11, he prays for their spiritual growth. He prays that they would grow in their relationship with Jesus Christ. Look at 9 through 11 again. And it is my prayer that your love may abound more and more with knowledge and all discernment, so that you may approve what is excellent, and so be pure and blameless for the day of Christ, filled with the fruit of righteousness that comes through Jesus Christ to the glory and praise of God. So why does Paul pray for their spiritual growth? Why is he doing this? And why is that an important part of a partnership in the gospel? Because God, who has, we're reminded in verse 6, who's begun this good work in us, who promises to carry it to completion as great grace works inside of us, because he wants them to grow in Christ and be more passion for Christ and to follow Christ with more obedience and more devotion. He wants them to do that because as they live out their life that way, they then authenticate the gospel message they proclaim. In other words, there's no difference between the gospel you proclaim and the gospel that you live out day to day. And so it authenticates the gospel you proclaim and that you disciple others with. See, one of the reasons that Jim Herron was so excited about being a Christian is he began to see how gospel life worked as he spent time in the homes of the members of Providence Church. And one of the reasons that he had, and I can tell you, a strong desire for 16 years to get married, one of the reasons he had that desire is because he wanted to live out this biblical marriage. This wonderful plan that God has for marriage, where it's not really about us, but it's about living as husband and wife in a way that gives Christ much glory. He understood that not only from reading the Word, he understood that as he spent time with people who were living out that Word. And so that's why Paul prays for them to grow in their relationship with Christ, to grow in their followership of Christ as well. And so as you replant this church, here's what you've got to do for one another. You've got to be in constant prayer for one another. Pray for one another that you would deepen your love for Jesus. Pray for one another that you would follow him with even greater obedience as grace works in your life. So let me ask you, can I have your commitment to do that? Will you pray for one another constantly? And you should know that the elders in this region, we just had our first regional assembly of elders meeting in the Northeast, the elders in the churches in this region, we're going to constantly be praying for you. Because that's a way that we do partnership. We see in this passage, we pray for one another. In fact, we just had the regional assembly of elders meeting this past Thursday, and Josh and Ed were there. I had a chance to introduce Ed as for the first time as a senior pastor of New Covenant Church. The guys exploded in applause. Just real enthusiasm, which was a joy to see. These churches in this region, Sovereign Grace, they're for you. They love you. They want to partner with you, and so they will pray for you. Let me ask you this, though. Will you pray for us? Will you pray for the churches in Sovereign Grace? Will you pray for the churches in this region in particular that you will work most closely with? It's appropriate for me to ask you to pray for us. Because we know from chapter 1, verse 19, that the Philippians prayed for Paul. Verse 19 says, "For I know that through your prayers," so the Philippians are praying for him, "and the help of the Spirit of Jesus Christ, this will turn out for my deliverance." See, Paul was writing this letter from his prison cell in Rome, and hearing that the Philippians were praying for his deliverance, deliverance mean his release from prison so he could continue gospel work, when he heard those prayers that they were praying for his deliverance, don't you think that strengthened him? Don't you think that encouraged him? Don't you think that gave him hope? See, prayer only strengthened the gospel partnership that Paul had with the Philippians and the Philippians with Paul. And so let us do that together, brothers and sisters. Let us be in constant prayer. Now, why the emphasis on prayer when we're talking about partnering in gospel advancement? Because we've got to remember that gospel mission never depends upon man. It never depends upon man. Rather, it is God who in his kindness chooses to use man. and the work of the gospel. And that's a wonderful privilege that you and I have. And so let us pray that he helps us. One of the reasons I think it's good just to be in constant prayer, let me say it this way. I may have told you this before. Outside of parenting, church planting is the hardest thing I've ever done. Loved it. Great joy. Just like parenting is a great joy, hardest thing I've ever done, parenting. The second thing that I've ever done, I'm just stepping in this new role in Sovereign Grace, so this could change, but so far is planting a church. Because it was in church planting that I met my weaknesses. It's church planting that revealed sin in my heart like no other time before. It was church planting where I met my limitations. You're going to meet your limitations as you replant this church. You're going to encounter your weaknesses. Things aren't going to quite always go as planned. And when that happens, pray more fervently for God to help you. So gospel partnership is marked by constant prayer. Here's the second thing. Gospel partnership is marked by rich relationship. Rich relationship. One of the striking aspects in this portrait, I would say, of gospel partnership found here in Philippians is the relational richness that's there. Did you see that in verses 7 and 8? He says, Paul's saying to them, it is right for me to feel this way about you all because I hold you in my heart. For you all are all partakers with me of grace in my imprisonment and the defense and confirmation of the gospel. For God is my witness how I yearn for you with all the affection of Christ Jesus. You don't see in these words some sort of professional relationship, do you? You don't see in these words some sort of formal relationship between Paul and this church. You see rich relationship, don't you? I believe it approximates the way that we have attempted to relate to you. See, genuine gospel partnerships, they're built with rich relationships. The reason I miss Rick is I got to serve alongside of him and the other elders, men I've gotten to know and love. And not just me. There have been a number of Sovereign Grace pastors who've been here and filled this pulpit over the last couple of years. Good men who love you and care and carry you on their heart and who pray for you. There are people that drove down this morning from Souderton, Pennsylvania, members of that church that wanted to be here today to celebrate with you. Because that's how we build churches together. We do it relationally, don't we? And as we move forward together in the future, this is a value we must maintain in Sovereign Grace. That of building together relationally. Because gospel partnership, it's marked, we see here, by rich relationships. And so one of the things that you can do as a church, prepare yourself to replant, is to have rich relationships among yourselves. Be in constant prayer that God would give you grace so that you would have rich relationships here, because it says something about the gospel of Jesus Christ. And so those of you who have been here 25, 30 years, a long time, you've waited for this day, make sure that you're spending time getting to know the people that are moving in and becoming a part of this replant. Get with them. Don't just be living in your familiar friendships. Just make yourself a little uncomfortable and get to know these new people. For those of you that are moving in, become a part of this replant, thank you for doing that. And get to know the folks that are here. So that when people walk in here for the very first time, they wouldn't see any distinction between those who've been here a long time and those who haven't. So that you will be effective in gospel partnership. Now, keep in mind that we got to put relationships when we talk about them in the right place. Relationships and friendships are never intended to supersede mission. See, we know here that Paul would much rather have Timothy with him. But we learn from chapter from chapter 2 that he couldn't do that because he needed to be involved in mission. This was his dear son in the faith. They could have just hung out together all the time and been just fine, but they didn't allow that to happen because gospel advancement causes us to make sacrifices in our relationships. It's seen in Ed leaving Satterton. It's seen in Josh and Kelly and what they've walked through over the last couple of years. And by the way, thank you for the sacrifices you've made, both of you, in coming here and being a part of this replant. You've left your friends because you've prized gospel advancement and you've put in the right place over friendship. So work on your friendships, build relationally strong because that'll make you a strong mission base, but never allow that to supersede mission. So that when people walk into this church, they're warmly welcomed by you. They don't feel like, man, I like the church, but I couldn't really kind of plug in relationally. Don't be that kind of people. Have strong relationships, but reach out and love those that are around you. So gospel partnership is marked by rich relationships. And let me just move on to the third point. Gospel partnership is marked by sacrificial giving. It's marked by sacrificial giving. Another feature of the gospel partnership is that those who are involved in gospel partnership, it'll cost you. It'll cost you your time. It'll cost you your resources. It'll cost you your money. It'll cost you your life, even in some ways. We get a picture of that here in Philippians. Flip over to Philippians chapter 4. Because the Philippians in particular were known for their sacrificial giving when it came to partnering with Paul. Look at verse 14. He said, "Yet it was kind of you to share my trouble. And you Philippians yourselves know that in the beginning of the gospel, that when I left Macedonia, no church entered into partnership with me in giving and receiving except you only. Even in Thessalonica, you sent help for my needs once and again. Not that I seek the gift, but I seek the fruit that increases to your credit. I have received full payment and more. I am well supplied, having received from Epaphroditus the gifts you sent, a fragrant offering, a sacrifice acceptable and pleasing to God." So we know that one of the reasons that Epaphroditus went to Rome, where Paul was in prison, is so that the Philippians could provide for Paul the things that he needed. They participated in partnership through sacrificial giving. And not only there in Rome, when he was in Thessalonica as well. So he's a part of another church. It tells you, first of all, that local churches partner with other local churches. Even there in Thessalonica, he says, you gave and you helped supply my needs for the advancement and furtherance of the gospel. See, gospel partnership includes sacrificial giving. Now, in getting to know you, New Covenant Church, over the last couple of years, I think this is a strength of yours. You're a generous church. You've given. I think one of the loudest statements that you've made about this replant and about your commitment to the gospel is the decision to hire both Josh and Ed and to hire them full time. And to take some money out of your savings and reserves to do that. That's a real step of faith. But it makes a loud statement about your willingness to sacrifice for the gospel. So thank you for that. Thank you for being generous. Thank you for having that kind of faith. And keep in mind that as people come into your church, as new believers come, they're going to come with needs. They're going to need practical help. You're going to be able to demonstrate, one of the ways you're going to be able to demonstrate love to them is to care for their needs. And I think this is another, as I've gotten to know you, this is another strength of New Covenant Church. You have a heart for mercy ministry. I just know that from being around you and hearing some of the things that you're doing. God's going to use that mercy impulse. He's going to use that merciful heart to provide for people's needs in a way that they experience the love of God. It's one of the reasons that gospel partnership includes sacrificial giving. Can I just thank those who are moving here, or Terrence attempting to move here? We're going to pray for you, man. And the sacrifices that you're making sacrifices. Thank you for that. It probably will cost you financially. Let me just tell you a story. Before I planted a church in Pittsburgh, I was working for a pharmaceutical company and making a pretty good income. And then when I transitioned suddenly to being a pastor, the pay grade's a little bit different. And I remember coming home, the very first time I came home and I told Jill what my salary was going to be as a church planter. And I think she said two things. Have a great time in Pittsburgh. And then if I'm going to go with you, you go ask that man for more money. Now, she was joking. But it was a significant change. And now Jill and I, we look back now and we often talk, don't we, love? About how God provided for all of our needs in ways that we could have never even anticipated. And therefore, he did it in a way that we knew it was him. And you know what? He's going to do that for you. Paul pens in Philippians 4, verse 19, "And my God will supply every need." He says to the Philippians, "And my God will supply every need of yours, according to this, according to his riches in glory in Christ Jesus." That's a large bank account to draw from. The riches of glory, in glory of Christ Jesus. And Ed and Robin and Josh and Kelly, thank you for the sacrifices you're making. I know you're feeling it. And God will supply for all your needs. So, gospel partnership is marked by constant prayer. It's marked by rich relationships. It's marked by sacrificial giving. Let me end with this, because we've got to look at this. It's so exciting. Gospel partnership facilitates gospel mission, and gospel mission advances, listen to this, gospel mission advances in the midst of trial and difficulty. We know that from verses 12 through 14. "I want you to know, brothers, that what has happened to me has really served to advance the gospel, not hinder it. So that has become known throughout the whole imperial guard and to all the rest that my imprisonment is for Christ." And listen to the effect. "And most of the brothers, having become confident in the Lord by my imprisonment, are much more bold to speak the word without fear." Paul's difficulty, his imprisonment in Rome, was only used by God to do what? To advance the gospel in a way that the whole imperial guard knew that this was about the advancement of the gospel that was for Christ. And then one of the effects of the believers there in Rome is that it did not cause them to hesitate in gospel advancement. It didn't cause them to shrink back. Rather, the effect is that they were more bold to speak the word and praise of God, to be sharing the gospel of Jesus Christ. It's just one picture that shows us that our trials and our difficulties, they don't stop the gospel. Rather, it seems that trials and difficulties are only used by God somehow to advance the gospel. And it's through those difficulties that the gospel advances. I say that to you because as you replant this church, there are probably some troubles and difficulties that await you. Don't allow those to let you hesitate, to cause you to hesitate. Rather, be emboldened by them, as these believers here are referenced here in verse 14. Some of you might be thinking, man, is this really a great time to replant the church? Shouldn't we get strengthened more? It's a great time to replant this church, because you probably don't have all your troubles worked out yet. Great time to replant. You might be wondering, is this really a good time to be joining Sovereign Grace? Let them work through their issues a little bit more. I would say it's a great time to become a part of Sovereign Grace. Because what we see is that God uses difficulty and trials to advance the gospel. And that's my faith for our future together as we share the gospel of Jesus Christ. Can we just do this? Can we pray for one another that we would do it with more boldness and that the gospel would advance? New Covenant Church, be a people who are constant in prayer. Be a people who are rich in relationships. Be a people who are sacrificial in your giving to the advancement of the gospel. And be a people who are emboldened by your difficulties to share the gospel with even greater fervency. Let's pray. Lord, our prayer is simply this. Come and fill us with your Spirit. And as you fill every person here with the Spirit of God, grant power. That empowering work of the Spirit that we hear referenced so many times in Scripture. So that as this church is planted, it is done in a demonstration of the Spirit's power. That is done with a boldness that marks the Spirit's power. So that the gospel would advance. As that net is cast, cast it wide. And bring many more to Jesus Christ, we pray, through the proclamation of the gospel from this church. Do this all for your glory. In Jesus' name we pray. Amen.